Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as we try and navigate this crazy world. Now, today, I want to talk about a frustration I have with Twitter. And yes, I understand that Twitter is a cesspool right now, but it is still the best way to promote what I'm doing. But my God, is it so stupid. The way they have it broken down now is by different tabs, right? They have the For You, the Following, which they completely ripped off from TikTok. But then whatever your interests are, they'll have like a separate tag for that. So looking at it on my phone, I have a For You, a Following, and an MTG Content. Because that's who I basically want to interact with on my podcast Twitter. That's who I'm trying to connect to. That said, the For You is 99% content creators for Magic. In no specific order. The Following is who I'm following in time, which is all Magic the Gathering content creators. And then if I go to the third tab, which is MTG content, guess what I find there? More MTG content creators. So I just think it's stupid when they changed from the you could just see the latest tweets or they'd give you recommended ones. And it's just something that I find stupid because when I get on there for my podcast, I want to be getting to the people that are actively on Twitter because that's how I'm going to be able to grow the podcast, right? I just have some frustrations with Twitter right now. I do still have like my TikTok account, but I basically just use that to mess around. But maybe I will have to start posting stuff there for the podcast just to try and get a little more reach. And yes, I know I don't use my different social medias to the best of their ability because I'm really, really bad about promoting my own stuff. I know that sounds terrible for a content creator, but that's just the way I am. I don't really like talking about myself all that much. The podcast here was really an outlet for me to start doing that, so I didn't lose my mind while I was sitting alone in my house during the pandemic. So I just wish Twitter wasn't such a cesspool, and I know why it is, and, you know, eat the rich and all that jazz. That said, I'm gonna stop this little rant here. I'll be right back. I'm gonna talk about something else after I had a minute to sort my thoughts. I will be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we're back. Now, on the 24th of June, I played on the Filthy MTG Casual stream. And Donnie, in both games, played his straight-out-of-the-box Frodo Adventurous Hobbit and Sam Loyal Attendant deck. So I didn't actually play mine. But just as a base precon, that deck goes pretty hard. And I wanted to talk about some of the things that I added to it and some of the things I decided to keep. So jumping right into it, let's start with Frodo Adventurous Hobbit. It's a white and a black for a 1/3 halfling scout. It partners with Sam Loyal Attendant. It has a vigilance. And whenever Frodo Adventurous Hobbit attacks, if you gained 3 or more life this turn, the ring tempts you. If Frodo is your ring bearer and the ring has tempted you 2 or more times, draw a card. And then his partner, Sam Loyal Attendant, is 1, a green and a white, for a 2/4 halfling peasant. Partners with Frodo Adventurous Hobbit. It has, at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a food token. And activated abilities of foods you control cost 1 less to activate. So I wanted to build this more specifically to get Frodo the ring and then just go to town, get to the part where, you know, you're just constantly drawing and discarding cards. And yeah, and I didn't necessarily build like a ton of reanimation into the deck. But first up, I want to talk about some of the things that I ended up did keeping. And that starts with some of the removal, specifically Anguished Unmaking. 1, a white and a black for an instant. Exile, a non-land permanent, you lose 3 life. Losing 3 life is so minimal in this deck because we're going to get to a point where we're consistently gaining at least 3 life a turn. Possibly more. In the game I played on the 24th, Donnie was gaining 6 life a turn just nonchalantly. Right. So the other thing I want to talk about is the 1 human that I actually kept in the deck. So that's a Savvy Hunter. It's 1, a black and a green for a 3/3 human warrior. Whenever Savvy Hunter attacks or blocks, create a food token, and you can sacrifice 2 food tokens to draw a card. I do find that's going to be one of the biggest things, is keeping your hand full for Frodo's ability with the ring to draw and discard, so you can consistently discard the weakest card in your hand. Next up, I do want to talk about a couple other creatures that I left in the deck, starting with Prosperous Innkeeper, 1 in a green, 1/1 halfling citizen. When the innkeeper enters the battlefield, you make a treasure, and whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life. So that plays more into the life gain side of it. Farmer Cotton is X, a green and a white for a 1/1 legendary halfling peasant. When Farmer Cotton enters the battlefield, create X 1/1 white halfling creature tokens and X food tokens. And then I want to talk about the Gaffer just because I love the name. It's 2 and a white for a 2/3 legendary halfling peasant. At the beginning of each end step, if you gained 3 or more life this turn, draw a card. Again, that's going to be very important when we're consistently dropping stuff out of our hand. Alright, now moving into some of the stuff that I wanted to add to the deck. The first thing is the Shire, which is a legendary land. It enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a legendary creature. It taps for a green, but the important bit is you can pay 1 and a green and tap it and an untapped creature you control to create a food token. So it's just another way to make a food token if something happens and you don't have the ability to replay Sam at the moment. It's just another way to keep fueling Frodo. More to that point, we also have Merodach Brandybuck, which is 1 in a green for a 2/2 legendary halfling citizen. Whenever 1 or more halflings you control attack a player, create a food token. So in Commander, the way that's going to work is if you have 3 of those 1/1 halfling tokens, You swing at each of your three opponents. You walk out of that with three food tokens. So again, a good way to fuel Frodo if Sam isn't available. Now, I do have a couple other creatures in the deck that are not of the halfling type, but they're powerful enough that I decided to add them anyway. The first one is Academy Manufacturer, which is 3 for a 1/3 assembly worker. If you would create a food, clue, or treasure token, instead create one of each. Don't really have to say too much about this. Everyone knows when it hits the field, if you don't deal with it and you're planning to make any one of those tokens, it's going to get out of hand. And the other one can also get out of hand. Archangel of Thune is 3 white-white for a 3/4 angel with flying and lifelink. Whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So, as long as we have this and Sam Loyal Attendant out, this says pay 1, sacrifice a food, gain 3 life, and make X power, where X is the number of creatures you control. Okay, now to round this out, I want to talk about some utility stuff, some card draw, and then a little added removal, and then we'll be out of here. So first up in the utility section, we have Agent of the Iron Throne. 2 and a black for a background. Commander creatures you own have whenever an artifact or creature you control is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, each opponent loses 1 life. So again, if you have both Frodo and Sam out, and then you sacrifice a food token, you are gaining 3 life, and then you are taking a total of 6 life from your opponents. Next up, we have Horizon Stone, which is a 5 mana artifact. If you would lose unspent mana, that mana becomes colorless instead. We typically don't care about this because colorless mana can either go into that X cost we talked about earlier, or you can just keep mana around to activate food whenever if you need a panic button, gain 3 life. Alhemarit's Archive is 5 mana for a legendary artifact. If you would gain life, you gain twice that much life instead, which is kind of the main reason it's here, but also if you would draw a card except the first one you draw in each of your draw steps, draw 2 cards instead. So this doubles up all of the draws you get with Frodo, which is the main reason I put it in here. Now, getting into the couple of card draw spells I want to talk about. First up, we have Village Rites, single black, instant. Additional cost to cast the spell, you sacrifice a creature, but you draw 2 cards. Next up, we have Phyrexian Arena, 1 black black for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, you draw a card and you lose a life. And then the last one I want to talk about is Painful Truths, which is honestly one of my favorite card draw spells for 3 color decks that include black. But it's 2 and a black for a sorcery. It has Converge. You draw X cards and you lose X life, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast this spell. Now, ironically, if this gets taxed by something like Athalia and you have a 4th color to spend, you do actually get to draw the 4 cards. It's an interesting interaction with that. And let's round this out with, just some removal that I added. First up, we have a Deadly Relic that's just been kind of floating around on my desk for a while. 3 and a black for an instant. If you control a commander, you may cast a spell without paying its mana cost. Exile target creature. Next up, we have a Fatal Push. Single black for an instant. Destroy target creature if it has converted mana cost 2 or less. The real reason we're running this is because of the Revolt trigger. Destroy that creature if it has converted mana cost 4 or less instead, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn. Which is going to be very easy to decide when we want to do that, as long as we have a food and Sam out, because it's, you know, 1 and a black to do that whole interaction. And then Annihilating Glare is a single black for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast this spell, either pay for or sacrifice an artifact or creature, destroy target creature or artifacts. So I'm sorry, destroy target, creature, or planeswalker. But what I meant to say is the number of times where we're just going to have enough food that it doesn't matter. That's why we want to run stuff like that. So I am going to cut this off here because I don't want it to get too long. And I'm tired and sore. So I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.